Today on Real Radio.
Did you know that prior to us being involved in World War II, did you know that our U.S. military budget, we could hardly afford anything? Did you know that our soldiers drilled with wooden guns that were fake? And some of them used sticks, branches from trees to march? Did you know that? By the way, I think that's why we won World War II. We were humble. We didn't know that the God that kept America was strong. Now we got all the power in the world and we've evicted God. Don't tell me we're powerful. I don't care if you have the biggest bazooka in the world. If God's not on your side, you ain't powerful. We need the Lord back in America in a very powerful way.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Gospel of Luke. It is sometimes said that our theology should become our neology. In other words, we should approach the things of God with humility. That's what our teacher will be focusing on as he examines and expounds upon Luke 14 and verses 7 through 11 in a message simply entitled, Be Humble. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
We believe that nobody could get to us because of our great oceans on either side. And when we began to wake up to the fact that we were going to have to be going to war because of Pearl Harbor and what was going on up in Alaska as the Japanese were coming over and Japanese invaded Alaska and what was going on in Europe, did you know that our U.S. military budget, we could hardly afford anything? Did you know that our soldiers drilled with wooden guns that were fake? And some of them used sticks, branches from trees to march. Did you know that? By the way, I think that's why we won World War II. We were humble. We didn't know that the God that kept America was strong. Now we got all the power in the world and we've evicted God. Don't tell me we're powerful. I don't care if you have the biggest bazooka in the world. If God's not on your side, you ain't powerful. We need the Lord back in America in a very powerful way. I love our troops, and so do you. That's why we want to send them out with God's hand upon them. But there's a sense where humility, we need to embrace that because it's the true reality. And we're to never assume a position. Jesus is warning us. Also this, humility is good because it's Christ-like. Jesus was humble. I always find that's a mind blower to me. Church, he's eternal. He's the eternal God, who the Bible says became flesh into this world. For what? To show us the kingdom of God, the will of the Father, to die on the cross for our sins, to be resurrected from the dead and to ascend back up into heaven, to come again someday, as the Bible says. Jesus Christ. Humility is good because it's Christ-like. If anyone had any business being proud, don't you think it'd be Jesus? That's why pride in our hearts is number one, disgusting. Number two, comical. Because if we strut around like we own the world, we're walking on a globe that he owns. If we are using breath to curse somebody, it's the very breath God's giving us. We should walk humble. The Bible says we should be careful as we walk on this earth because we are down here and he is up in heaven above. Isn't God patient? Verse 9 says, and he who invite you and the other guy comes to you and says, give place to this man. Humility is a good thing because it's Christ-like. Jesus never struggled to be number one. He didn't have to. He was ridiculed, mocked, and scorned, and the Bible invites us to be humble like him. And what absolutely charges my heart is that all that he is, listen, the Bible says that he's the Word of God. The Bible says that on his robe is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible says that his eyes in heaven right now are as a flame of fire, and his face is so bright that the sun and the moon, when he comes back, will flee from his presence. The Bible says he names all the stars. He knows them by name. He numbers them. All the animals obey him, says the scripture. You can go on and on and on. And the Bible says that your king, Jesus, will come to you humble, lowly. Zechariah 9:9 says, riding on the back of a donkey, meek and lowly. That's how we're to be. We're to be mimicking him. Unfortunately, in our culture, humility is viewed as weakness, isn't it? In our culture, humility is something that is kind of a sickness. What's wrong with you? You need to assert yourself. Jesus Christ had absolute humility and meekness, and we're to mimic him. One commentator writes that this man who is sitting at the table is thoroughly enjoying himself. Good food, wine is excellent, the crowd thinks I'm somebody, and the view from the seat is perfect. What could be better? And then he goes on to say, then there's a tap on his shoulder. And you look, yes? You don't belong here. And you got to get up and move back. Jesus is telling them that it's not about being number one and being honored by people and being one who is somehow looked at. The Bible says in 1 John 2, verse 5, but if anyone obeys the word of God, God's love is made complete in him. And this is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus walked. We are to be mimicking Jesus, and certainly in this area of being humble. And I love this. Somebody may say or announce, I'm a Christian. And I think we ought to start doing this. Church, are you with me? Everybody here right now? When we say, or when we hear someone say, I'm a Christian, we should be thinking this way. The true definition of a Christian. I'm a Christian. Oh, where do you serve? I cannot be a Christian and be a non-servant. It's impossible. You can put all the stickers and t-shirts and identification that you can muster upon ourselves and yourself, but until we serve Christ in a humble fashion, the Bible challenges us that we may not even know him. That's a serious thing. Thirdly, under this point, why being humble is a good thing. Verse 9 teaches us, and then you begin with shame to be taken down to the lower place. That is that humility is good because it's discipleship. Discipleship. So what do you mean by that? Listen, if we are schooled and trained from the Word of God to mimic Jesus Christ, if we are to do, you know the saying, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? I can tell you this right now. Whatever Jesus would do, it would be the humble thing. It would be the humble thing. So if we keep that in mind, as Christians, yes, I'm a Christian. Well, then that means you're a disciple and that you're taking the humble route. Meaning this, what do I do in my life, with my life, for him, for his glory? What would Jesus truly do is what I'm supposed to do. You see, but Jack, I want to do the other thing. We all want to do the other thing. Now, I can say this because she's not here right now. Lisa's 3,000 miles away. So don't tell her I said this. But I was taken to the airport yesterday morning. It was really early, but there's like too many people on the freeway that early. But that's okay because we're in the carpool lane. There's two of us. So I was doing the California version of 65 miles an hour that you've all created, that California version. And I'm going down, and somebody decided in the carpool lane to do their version of the speed limit. And there's a line of traffic behind this guy. And so being the servant, humble person that I am, I start thinking, does this person not know that even the slowest lane on the freeway is going faster than him? So just surely, here comes the little point where he can move over and go out. He's going to go out, right? I mean, he's going to pull out and let all of us go by, right? Oh, no. It's a Saturday morning. He probably had a Starbucks and his donut, and he's just going along. And you start seeing cars, it looked just like an Indy race getting ready to start. You see cars going like this. I mean, they're going, you know, and then all of a sudden, it's as though there was a man that just waved the green flag, and they're off. And oh my goodness. And I go, and now it's the lane that you can pass, because I'm not about to break that lane again. That was too expensive the first time. So I'm law-abiding. I'm like, you know. And so I go around, and this is where the Lord busted me. I looked like that in passing. You know that? Lisa's doing her Bible study. You know your women's Bible study thing that you're going through? What did you just do? And I said, I showed the man my disapproval of him parking in the carpool lane. And the Lord began to speak to me. Jack, that's pride. And you're not being very humble. And I gave you a message about being humble. And you're going to talk to people tomorrow about it. You're a hypocrite. Jack, you're a hypocrite. And I am a hypocrite. It's true. When you buy your ticket to go to the theater to see Expelled, the movie, you want your favorite best seat in the theater. You get up there, you walk in, there's people there where I like to sit. That's pride. It's a sense of hypocrisy. We should be, hey, you see those seats you're in right there? Yeah. What of it? That's my favorite seat. I'm glad you have it. I'm esteeming others more highly than myself. That should be our discipleship response. But listen, you might say, well, Jack, this is all just fine and dandy, but how do I get humble? Because we all struggle with pride. And the person who said, Pastor, speak for yourself. I don't have any pride. You could be the most proud person in this room. You know what? This is how you deal with it. Jot it down. Four things. Number one, see the Lord for who he is. Turn off the TV, sit down, open your Bible, and read and meditate on his majesty. Amen. Oh my goodness. Isaiah did that. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah said in verse 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne high and lifted up, and his glory filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphim, each having six wings, and with two wings he covered his face, with two wings he covered his body, with two wings he flew, and they cried one to another, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah said, when I saw that, he became completely undone. How does that? Look to see who God is. Number two, look to see who we are. Isaiah 6:5 says, and when I saw that, I said to myself, woe is me. I'm undone because I'm a man of unclean lips. When you see and meditate on the glory of God, you'll say, God, you're awesome, and I'm a scumball. God, you're holy, and I'm not. You're in heaven, and I'm on earth. Thirdly, take a look at what God has done. Psalm 19:1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. You keep reading that psalm, and it says that the creation of God speaks day and night to us about his incredible majesty and power. Listen, we have got to start, and don't get me wrong, I'm not saying run out of here and hug a tree. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all, but I am saying we need to unplug. We need to unplug all this electronic trash. Amen. And start looking around. If you've got young kids, young being 30 and under in your home, you need to take away their little toys, get that junk out of their ears, and have them go watch dolphins down at the beach, walk out to the end of the pier, make them look around. They don't want to look around. It's the end of the pier. Hey, the people are reeling stuff up. The fish is flopping on the... Let them, make them look at it. Look at that. No, they're going, what? You know what's very sad? You know what's very sad? Our kids, they can text faster than you can think. But have you noticed that we are raising up social idiots? We are rearing up socially retarded people. They can fill it out on a piece of paper. They can text it. They're going back and forth. They can type it out. And you get two people together for an interview. You get two people together for a job interview or for something that's going on, and they cannot relate to one another. Look at the young people. They can't even look at you in the eye. They've never learned how to do that. They'll look away. You got to grab their cheek and look at me. Look at me. They can't stand it. Why? Because your face doesn't look like a computer screen. Go home and try this on your kid. Watch them. Hey, Mike, how you doing? Fine. If you were to say, what do you want for Christmas? Why don't you text me what you want for Christmas? It's true. They need to look out and see the glory of God. Take a drive. Make them look out the window to drive them crazy. Turn off the DVD in the car. Make them look out the window to drive them crazy. They need that. Also, the fourth thing, knowing the facts about ourselves. Acts 17, 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our existence. God. That should humble us as disciples. I'm going to give you several verses. You get ready to jot them down. Genesis 32, 10, concerning what Jacob said about this revelation. We and I need it also. I am not worthy, Jacob said, of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you have shown your servant Jacob. I'm not worthy of this. Job 40, verse 4. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you, God? I lay my hand upon my mouth. That's a great position to be in. Listen to what Paul said in 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. Paul the apostle said, I'm the biggest sinner. Isn't that amazing? You see, he had to be lying. He wasn't lying. Therein is the secret to true humility, to see yourself as we really are. The closer you get to the Lord, my friend, the least impressed you'll be with yourself, but the more secure, happy, and joyous you'll be in Christ. It's a bizarre contradiction. That's what Jesus said, that when you die to yourself, you'll be alive. Jesus says, don't think about yourself. Why? Because he'll think for us. I don't mean think like Jack, turn left, Jack, turn right. He's the one that will exalt you in due time. This is vitally important. I got to tell you, our psychology will be much healthier for it if we do. Getting our eyes off of ourselves and esteeming others more highly than ourselves, that's a very powerful, healthy thing to do. Paul said, I was the chief of sinners, and he meant it. I love that. Peter said to Jesus, depart from me, Jesus, I'm a sinful man. That's humility. King David said, who am I, O God, and what is my house that you have brought me thus far in life? Is that not awesome? Can you say that? God, who am I that you've given me such favor? Look what's happening in the world today over rice and beans. What we saw in the news last night in America, the price of milk, what's going to happen to that? You see what's happening. God, who am I that you might give me just a morsel of bread to live today? Well, but with grape poupon on it, right? Bread with grape poupon on it? No. In fact, take away the bread. What if you just had grape poupon to suck on with a straw? How'd you like that? You were to thank him. Thank you, God. That'd bring about some humility in our hearts. What about John the Baptist? When Jesus came to him to be baptized, John the Baptist said, what is this? I should be baptized by you. Isn't that awesome? Friends, I'm telling you, if we ask the Lord, work in my life, the humility, Lord God, that's pleasing to you, we'll be doing all the better. And can I just say this? You and I will never know true humility until we determine to follow Jesus in servanthood. I'm not kidding when I tell you, I wish we were not bound by these ridiculous clocks. And that clock, you can't see it, but when I'm going over, that clock flashes red back there. Red light comes on. Jack, Jack, Jack. It If I had it my way, we would lock the doors. No, I'm serious, because you know what? We just lock the doors and bring out buckets of water and towels. And nobody goes anywhere until we wash one another's feet. And listen, you clap, but there's about 3,000 people who are not ready to clap with you on that one. The first thing that enters your mind, mostly ladies, when's the last time I had a pedicure? Most guys are going, what? You begin to think stuff like that. I got to tell you, someone touch your feet, it freak you out. I don't know what it is. It will make the biggest man get choked up and be tempted to cry when a stranger starts to wash his feet. You know what, though? In our culture, which is sad biblically, we will never do that. And yet the Bible commands it. There are people, we've done this before in small group settings, people have gotten up and taken off and left their spouse. It was a marriage retreat. Left their spouse holding the bucket. And that's not a joke. You know why it's so powerful? It takes humility to wash someone's feet. It takes more humility to have your feet washed. A Christian has got to be humble. Second point, being humble means this, when being humble is the right thing to do. Humility is right when others are near us. But when you are invited, verse 10, go and sit down in the lowest place. Don't come barging in as a Christian and say, hey, where's my seat? We should be known as servants. And examples. Philippians 2:3. I love this verse. Write it down, would you? Philippians 2:3. I'd like to have this on the parking spot of every civic leader, from city councilman to the president of the United States. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness or humility of mind, let each one esteem others more than himself. Can you imagine every day they pull up in their car? Do everything you do today humbly for others. Did you know that George Washington, I was reading a book yesterday, had nothing to do with Christianity, it was just a historical book. But it was about George Washington, who was an incredibly committed Christian. George Washington, it was said of George Washington that he would not study anything, do anything, leave anything behind that did not better the life of others. That was his motto in life. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine if everybody had that? But it takes humility to live like that, to love people enough to leave it better off than how you found it. That is a biblical Judeo-Christian belief that God has given us.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Luke chapter 14 and verses 7 through 11. It's an examination on humility, and is entitled quite simply, Be Humble. Part of our journey through this fascinating chapter by chapter and verse by verse through the Gospel of Luke, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now this week on Real Radio, we will be presenting a special Veterans Day message. We want to make sure that you know about that and not to miss it. In the meantime, if Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is touching your life, we'd like to know about it. Give us a call and let us know. Our toll-free number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. You can also write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. You can also let us know online. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. And of course, all of our contact information can also be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.